welcome to all of you, including those listening at home. If we have any visitors, please make yourselves known to us. And there will be tea and coffee after this morning's service, so do please come and join us for further fellowship. For those of you listening at home, the service is being led by Robert, and Jeff is playing the organ. We are also delighted to welcome Sarah Adlard from Tear Fund, who will be telling us more about this year's Harvest Appeal, which we are launching today. Please take time to look at the display board put up by our World Concerns Committee. I hope you have all received the information sheet about the appeal and been given an envelope. However, you can also give via bank transfer, and details of how to do this will be in next week's weekly news. Our reader this morning is Eddie Thomas, and David Ledbetter is leading us in our prayers. Next week, our service is dedicated to remembering our loved ones. Perhaps you know of friends, neighbours, or relatives who have lost someone recently, or indeed a long time ago, who may like to attend. So do please invite them. I have no other notices apart from those that are in weekly news, so I will now light the Christ candle and the peace candle, and we will have a moment of quietness to prepare our thoughts for worship.
Oh, Good morning and welcome all of you to our service this morning. And the sun is shining. Do you remember it rained on Friday? And my younger daughter, who is not in Berlin, she's up in Nottingham, has said her whole weekend has had rain up in Nottingham. Don't anybody say she serves her right, because that's not fair. Our harvest. And this year we're joining the launch of our harvest appeal together with the collection for our harvest distribution of goods. And we thank God for that yearly event of the turn of the seasons and the work that goes behind everything. I can never think of a harvest service without thinking that back in Argentina, the harvest is end of December, beginning of January. And all the farmers of the congregation where I was minister before, and 80% of the congregation were farmers, said that for the Southern Hemisphere, Christmas came just at the wrong time. Because if it rained the day after, or it rained while they were at service, it would ruin the harvest for everybody. So there was a campaign to see if we could change harvest to a different time, which it didn't happen. And their wives always said they wanted them in for 24th of December dinner and not out on the tractors and things like that in the middle of the fields. There's no pleasing some people. But harvest it is today for us, and we are grateful. What we can share, what we can receive from all this, and the hard work that goes in to so much and in so many different ways. From the letter to the Galatians, words that you have heard before, talking about the fruits of the harvest, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. May we reflect on this, because these are some of the fruits that we can share from our own experience of life and our harvest. This is the spirit of our service today. And our first hymn is from Rejoice and Sing, and it's hymn number 40, which says, "Come, ye thankful people, come."
Thank you.
you know what is the largest component of the human body? Water. It's about 70%, I think. Water is crucial, absolutely central to every form of life. And you probably know, but in case you don't know, it's worth telling. Most water in the world doesn't come bottled. Though people want to buy bottled water all over the place, that is only not in all over the place, it's in a few places in the world where people think that bottled water is the way you would find water. Water is central to who we are and what we can do. And water is the theme of the prayer today, because it is very connected to the harvest appeal that we are launching this morning. Let us pray. We come before you, the God of many names, and today, God Creator, Creator of diversity, Creator of who we are. And just look around whenever you want and see how different we are. Creator of the seasons, that yes, they more or less coincide, except that the northern hemisphere is different in its timing from the southern hemisphere. Creator of the love we have for that creation and for the respect of that variety. Creator God, we celebrate you. You that made the springs that gush forth in the valleys, that flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal, even the ones we don't pay much attention to, even the ones that we would call the silly animals of creation. From the delicate hummingbird that picks the water out of the flowers that it visits, to the heavy animals that muddy up the rivers with their weight and yet go there to drink. You send rain and water the earth, and from that there is growth. And from that growth, we can eat and be satisfied. And we thank you for what we eat, and so often just push back from the table, totally satisfied, in the comfort of plenty. But in that reality, we also notice drought and famine, the work of human hands, and the lacking in so many parts of the world. But in solidarity, we register the loss and the fear and the death. We count on water and rain and growth and bread. We count on your regular changing of the pattern of the seasons. And from where we are, we look and seek for peace. But it gives the impression that the times we are living, there is little good and little peace going on. We need a time of healing. But for so many people in the world today, there is fear and even terror. We live in context where this weekend the storms were raging, the winds were strong in our country, and there were floods. And for others in this same small island, it was sun. Strong winds, yes, but in so many parts of the world, the airs, the waters, the land has been ravaged, mostly for gain of very few people. We don't expect a failed rain, we don't expect failed bread, we don't expect failed peace, we don't expect failed healing. But those failures are part of the reality of life. And very often, they are the result of choices made and styles of life. We give you thanks for the beauty of so much, because when it happens and the colours burst and the flavours taste and the joy of sharing is something we have forgotten about. But also, we are faced today with emptiness and pain. We would like to turn away from self-destructiveness, but there are so many who don't have an option. But in the midst of all this, we proclaim you, Creator, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and we know what your will is. We thank you that we can launch our harvest appeal today, of which we will hear more in a few moments, that we can share the goods we have brought for the Swindon Food Collective, and we know this will help others. We turn to you, because for this whole creation, you are the seed of peace, of hope, of love, and you are the harvest. Summer and winter, spring and autumn. We seek, O Lord, in our brokenness for your patience, in our fears for your sovereign will of love and good, that which will override the destructiveness that goes on. We look to this world of need and pray, God, please restore, please recreate, please enliven, please give rain, please give food, please give peace. For other than you, there is no other source. None except you and your sovereignty, the God we rely on. To you, our thanksgiving and our confession today. We come as your daughters and your sons. Bless us and bless this world, that through what we do, what we say, what we sing, what we think, the world may know that there are people who care. And as your children, we can say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The choir will now sing the anthem, Let Us With a Gladsome Mind, words by John Milton and the music by Martin Setchell. Thank you.
This morning's reading is taken from Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. And you can find this on page 249 of the Old Testament section of the Bible in your pew. The reading is headed Ruth Meets Boaz. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favor in your sight, my Lord? For you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Eddie. The story of Ruth is an amazing story of those people who suddenly find that what they do has an impact on others. Not because they have set out to do it, but it is who they are. And then Ruth goes and ends up being one of the four women in the genealogy of Jesus, a foreigner, a stranger, somebody who shocks us because of her devotion. And suddenly we realize that God is seeing, and God reacts and responds out of those words of kindness and actions of kindness. What we are going to hear today involves Mali. And probably the first time you heard of that, you had to go to Google and find out exactly where it was. Somewhere in Africa, yes. But if you look at the map, and it's there, in green, you can see that part of Mali was designed in somebody's office, because there are too many straight lines for Mali to be a natural set of boundaries. The southern part, no, that clearly must follow rivers or mountains or something like that. But Mali and water are our thoughts today. And Ruth is told that she hasn't got to worry about security, about protection, or even about water in the story we just heard. Let us sing now, preparing to reflect and hear about this harvest appeal from Sing Praise. This time it's hymn 238, "Creating God, We Bring Our Song of Praise."
Thank you.
I'd like to introduce Sarah to you, who's sitting there. She will come and she will tell us about this project, what Tear Fund is doing. Please. And how we can help, what we can do. And as I said, this brings together our two services. So it's not that we're going to send the vegetables to Mali today. The collection will be for Mali, and what we share after what Sarah has done will also be shared as we do every month to the Swindon Food Collective. So there's the immediate. That which has an impact today, and what we're going to hear about is what will have probably a strong, strong impact in times to come. Sarah, very welcome and thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation here today. It's great to come and meet you all and share a little bit about Tear Fund's work. So I work for Tear Fund. I've worked for them for quite a number of years now, firstly in the programme, so I used to travel quite a lot, and now I work in the partnerships team, so more on the funding side. So it's great to be able to come and speak about some of our work today. And thank you so much for your support through the Harvest Appeal. We're really grateful, and we couldn't do the work that we do without supporters like you. So thank you so much for your interest. So I hope that I can explain a little bit more about where the funds will be going and bring it a little bit closer to your hearts and minds today. I realise that Mali is a very far away place, but hopefully it will feel a little bit closer today. So I just wanted to start by introducing Tear Fund to you. It's a Christian charity. We work in about 50 countries around the world. Our emphasis is on enabling people to lift themselves out of poverty. So our emphasis is very much about sustainability. We partner with the local church and local Christian organisations who hold all the relationships locally, and they have a long-term presence, so they are there for the long-term rather than being a short-term presence. Tear Fund has been working around the world for about 50 years, so we have significant experience in working in challenging contexts and areas of extreme poverty. And toilet twinning is part of Tear Fund's work. You might have heard of toilet twinning or seen certificates in people's bathrooms. That specifically raises funds for the water and sanitation work that Tear Fund is doing. And I think that's actually what initially led you to Tear Fund as a church. A little bit more about Mali as a country. You can see on the map there. Do have a look later because it's a beautiful display that someone has put together very kindly. So I imagine you have not heard very much about Mali. It's not a country that is ever really in the news in the UK. It's actually one of Africa's largest countries, but with a relatively small population. There's about 25 million population, so about a third of the size of the UK in terms of population. But actually nearly 50% of the population are under 15, so it's a very young population. It's a very flat and dry country. A lot of it is made up of the Sahara Desert, hence being very dry. There is actually one city in Mali that you've probably heard of. I don't know if anybody is willing to hazard a guess of where one city that people will have heard of that is in Mali. Well done, excellent. So yeah, it definitely exists. Timbuktu is in Mali. But Mali is in a very serious humanitarian crisis, even though we hear so little about it. It's been affected by conflict for many years, and the last about 15 years have been very serious conflict and led to a lot of internal displacement of people and a lot of poverty and suffering. It's said to be one of the countries most affected by climate change because of obviously the being situated in the desert. So there is currently a prolonged drought and this conflict that has been really bad for the last 15 years or so. It's led to, at the moment, there are over 1 million children at the risk of malnutrition in Mali. So that's actually quite a significant proportion of the population. So it's a very challenging context that this project is seeking to make an impact in. We're really grateful to have local partners in Mali who make this work possible. Because of the insecurities in the country, we're not actually allowed to name our partners or the specific location within Mali, just because it puts them at risk. But we work through local partners. That we do a lot of checks with them to ensure that their finances and all their governance are good before we work with them. So this project is working across 25 villages in this area of Mali, and it's an area that's been significantly affected by the conflict as well as the drought. So a lot of the focus of this project is on water and sanitation, as this is obviously such a priority issue in this area of drought. In Mali, a quarter of the population don't have access to basic water provision. So that's not just a tap in your house, that actually means that it's considered basic water provision if you have to walk less than half an hour to get to a water source. So that would be kind of halfway across Swindon, I suppose, for you. So 30 minutes, obviously, carrying water normally on your head, enough water for your family for the day is an exhausting task that I would not like to try. So the area, the situation is actually worse in rural areas, where about a third of people need to walk more than half an hour to get to safe water. In rural areas, only one in five people have access to sanitation, the provision of a safe and hygienic toilet. So it's kind of unimaginable for us. The area of Swindon I drove through to get here, I imagine that all of the houses had their own toilet in the house, and that is obviously the situation for most houses we've ever been in the UK. It's also about the public sanitation facilities. So 3/4 of schools in Mali don't have any toilets, and only half the schools have water provided. And this actually has a huge impact on education performance and school attendance. Sickness rates are obviously higher where there's no water and sanitation provided. It's also particularly a problem for girls' education, as girls can end up missing up to a week each month of school because they don't want to go to school when they have got their period. So this is a real struggle for girls' education. It has a big impact long term. And they often end up dropping out of school quicker than boys because they have missed so much. So when we think about water and sanitation, it has very strong links to many other areas of life, such as health and education, and therefore life opportunities long term. So that's why the water and sanitation is such a key element of this project in Mali that you're kindly supporting. So within the water and sanitation aspect of the project, there is rehabilitation and construction of water points. I think you've got some on the photographs there. One that was already constructed in the first year of this project last year. We're also constructing public and family latrines in the community because this has such a significant impact on health. We also, whenever we construct water points or latrines, we raise awareness of good hygiene and sanitation practices to ensure that it goes alongside behaviour change, which is really key to it having a lasting impact for the long term. Also, things about water conservation is really important in an area of such drought. So we would form local water management committees who are trained to have particular responsibility for local water management and the upkeep of the water points. So some of the other activities that we're doing is around food security. So you're obviously thinking about food security here in Swindon today as well. It looks a little bit different in Mali. We are promoting market gardening for women. So that's using small areas of land that they might have around their houses to produce some vegetables. And also training farmers, they're very small-scale farmers, but training them to improve their knowledge in agricultural techniques and so that they can improve their yields and therefore provide their families with a reliable food source throughout the year. We teach farmers how to create compost pits, so with an aim to it should be producing 3,000 compost pits created within the communities during this project. Also climate-friendly seeds and simple equipment like wheelbarrows and rakes, so things that we might have in our gardens here, but just, yeah, really help to improve the agricultural production. And also things about eco-friendly pesticides, so they're better for the environment, using local resources, so therefore much more cheaper, but also really effective in keeping the crops healthy. So key to Tearfund's approaches in the majority of our projects is working through the local church. Tearfund's partners will equip the church in practical ways to work with the local community. So they'll be identifying the needs and also mobilising resources to help bring about long-term change. So it's really owned by the community when they're involved. Church leaders from 20 churches will be taking part in this training. And it's a great way of reaching out to the local community in a really practical way, so that they can improve their lives themselves, and it'll be really centred from the community rather than from the outside. Another element of this project is around internally displaced people. So this is as a result of the conflict in Mali. There will be social integration activities to help these internally displaced people to settle in well in their host communities, which is often a real problem in an area of conflict. So training local leaders in responding to disasters is also really key, because when communities are working well together, it's a really good way of reducing their vulnerability to all the different threats like drought or conflict that might affect them. So connected to this is training in conflict prevention and in peace building, which obviously is so important in this area where conflict has been such an issue for so long. So local radio stations often broadcast peace awareness programs so that people can listen and be positively influenced by the messages that they hear. And this is something that we work with church leaders and other religious leaders and community leaders to help them influence the people that they're working with for good, so that they can influence them to be local peace champions in their area. And so the reading from Ruth seemed really relevant to me, to this part of the project. Ruth was obviously displaced from her home. She was far from home and in a difficult situation. And Ruth's words to Boaz struck me when she said, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" So Ruth obviously knew what it was to be a foreigner trying to make a living in a new place. And that's the experience of so many people in Mali. So supporting these vulnerable people is so key. It also made me think what Ruth said there, thinking about our lives here in the UK. How do we notice the foreigners and show compassion and love to those around us, whether that's here in Swindon or in our not-so-near neighbours in Mali? So I just wanted to finish by sharing a story of a lady called Simone. Simone is married and has 5 children, but they were forced to leave their home due to terrorist attacks on their village, which is part of the ongoing conflict in Mali. So Simone and her family managed to find somewhere else to live in another community, but the community already had a big problem with water, so they had one unreliable well that didn't provide clean water throughout the year. And so obviously new people coming into this community only made the problem worse and more pressure on this one unreliable well. As Simone said of the situation, during the rainy season, the local well is filled with dirt from animal excrement and rubbish. Us women have to walk over an hour round trip to find drinking water. We're really tired. But I'm delighted to be able to say that as part of this project, Simone's local water point is now mended. This is last year. It's a 3-year project, which started last year. So it now provides clean water all year round for this community. And Simone says, "Today we're happy. We can say that this year our children will have fewer water-related illnesses. All this reduces our expenses on treating children's sicknesses. Water is life. So we can see that this relatively simple intervention makes such a massive difference, transforming people's lives, like Simone and her family. With access to clean water, children are healthier, women are freed from the long and dangerous walk for water, and families can redirect their resources to more critical needs, like food and other needs they have. Water really has provided life for Simone and her new community. So thank you so much for being willing to support this project in your Harvest Appeal. We can't run projects like this without support of churches and people in the UK. It really does make this work possible. So, yeah, thank you so much for being part of this project. And I hope you feel a little closer to Mali through what I've said this morning. And, we're just really grateful for your support. So thank you very much for partnering with us in this work. Thank you.
Thank you so much for bringing alive the readings, for example, the reading of Ruth, long ago, but how it has an impact in what we are living today and how our faith is challenged. For the next few weeks, we can support this either through the gift aid envelopes that are available, or if you do it online. And you know that if you gift aid, that gives the World Concerns Committee a cushion to help other emergencies that the world sadly and suddenly is facing. I just want to read a very short quote from Archbishop Oscar Romero. He stands on the west port of Westminster Abbey in London with the other 10 saints of the modern world. And it's for a quote like this that somebody put a bullet through his head on the 24th of March of 1970s while he was celebrating Mass. And what you just said reminds me how things in the world in which we live are joined together. A church that does not provoke any crisis, preach a gospel that does not unsettle, proclaim a word of God that does not get under anyone's skin, or a word of God that does not touch the real sin of the society in which it is being proclaimed, what kind of gospel is that? Today we've heard of the political, of the ecological, of the social affecting us. But we can turn away from it. We choose not to. They have no choice. Let our thoughts, our prayers, our contributions be that which will help others going through these situations. That is the way we want to preach the gospel. Our next hymn, again from Sing Praise, it's 110, and it's For the Fruits of All Creation. Now we will share that which we have been able to set apart for the offering. And once we have dedicated the offering, then I will invite you, if you have anything that you would like to bring forward for the Food Collective, please do after we have dedicated the offering. God, for what's in these plates, but also what we give in different ways, for the generosity of what we have received from you to the generosity with which we can give our time, our talents, our possessions. Bless them, bless those who have to decide how it is used. To you the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
We now come to our intercessionary prayers for harvest. And when I say the words, Lord of the harvest, please respond, hear our prayer. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. Loving God, at this harvest time, we thank you for all the good things you have given us. And we look round our church this morning, Lord, we see the colours and the bounteous gifts that you have put on this land.
And if we look closely at the windowsills, Lord, we see small acorns. Small things, but they do two things. They feed animals and birds, and also some of them grow into mighty oaks. We see also brown withered leaves which have fallen from the trees, but before they fell, Lord, they gave goodness to that host tree, so that in the spring of next year the tree will blossom forth and spring out with glorious colours. We thank you, Lord, for creating this beautiful earth and all within. Forgive us for our failure to be wise stewards of your world. You, the God of compassion and justice, see what is hidden, and you hear every silent cry. Help us to protect all life and climate that life depends on. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. We give thanks to all those who work the land and sea to provide our daily food. And as this morning we have brought forward produce to be taken and distributed by the Swindon Food Collective, to those who sit at our gates of comfort, the hungry, the refugee, the homeless, the forgotten. In doing this morning, may they know that we would not walk past them, but would kneel with them, offering not only words, but action shaped by love. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we are mindful that while we are fed and nourished, there are so many who are short of food, whose harvest has failed with lack of rain, or livelihood has been destroyed by war, inhumanity, and exploitation. Bless those agencies who are seeking to redress the balance and bring peace and justice. Bless those agencies such as Tear Fund and the work on the Integrated Water and Sanitation Project, which we in this church have adopted as our harvest appeal, to support them working amongst poor and underprivileged, showing that we are mindful of your command to love our neighbour. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for your church, that we might not simply hear the prophets, but respond with courage and faith. Make us bold in our weakness, witness, tender in our mercy, and our service, and urgent in our love. At this time, Lord, we pray for everyone in need, for those who are ill, physically, mentally, spiritually, and who feel alone and helpless. And in a moment of private prayer, we speak to you of those we know personally who need your comfort and grace. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift these prayers up to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shows us the truth, the way, the light, and love everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, David. And as we come to the end of our service, something happened this week which doesn't fit very much into the harvest, but it's something that probably none of us imagined we would live to see it. The new Archbishop of Canterbury is a woman. And that is great, but I don't know if you followed it, the amount of hatred and horrendous comments that have been made about her gender are outrageous. So we give thanks to God for the courageous decision of the Church of England at this time and pray for her patience, her wisdom, and the dedication that hatred may not find a place. And as she was renowned for being an excellent nurse, she may make a big contribution to the Anglican family in the world today. Amen. Our closing hymn, we go back to Rejoice and Sing. It's hymn 124, We Plough the Fields and Scatter. There, it'll tell you more about what you've heard this morning. And now we leave. And this is where the service starts, in what we do, how we live, what we share, because of what we have learned this morning. May the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, with those people we so often find difficult to love, and for God's people everywhere. To you be the glory, O Lord, and to us, your sending and your company. Go in that peace. Amen.